just came through an amazing time of Christmas and the last few weeks preaching about Matthew's and Luke's testimonies and the kids program. And I've been carrying this thing for a while. Just Lori read me some articles and I don't know, just God, I believe it's God speaking, and I want to encourage, maybe it's for you, Ronell and Keith, but if you think of it, God orchestrated the leader of the entire world to call a census so that Mary and Joseph would end up in Bethlehem. Like, he could orchestrate all of that. He could set the stars from the beginning into motion that at that precise time, the wise men would see the sign that the King of the Jews was born and come to seek him and move planets and move stars. And as I said last week, that heavenly dance of putting together this amazing plan. God can do all of that. Then it surely means that God can arrange our circumstances. But I had to think about Mary. Like, you know, if God could do all of that, surely he could have arranged the hotel. But it was his will for the manger. It was his will for God to take on the form of a servant. To give his life. That was the beginning. You know, and we were talking about it this morning, actually. Mary's choices would not have been those choices. But God had this plan. God had this purpose. And I was reminded of again, you know, Ronell and Keith, we wouldn't have planned many things in our life. And God is so faithful and so good working through it. And I watched little Helene doing Mary and Joseph, Jordan and Helene. I'm 60. I'm not dead yet, but it's like moments, because my preach this morning is make the most of every opportunity, so I'll get to it, but it's as we look to a new year. But there's little Joseph and Mary stand there, and I'm sitting there with Ben. He's a sheep, all fuzzed out, and I feel like I'm having an allergic reaction, can't breathe through that fuzz or something. And I'm seeing my own daughter, Nicole, singing in the Christmas play back in Mwanza, or Dodoma, wherever we were. Little donkey, on the dusty road. Got to keep on plodding onward with your heavy load. You know, powerful messages. And I just sat there and I was like, God is so amazing. I would have never planned for my kids to be born in three countries. I would never have planned for my kids to have multiple citizenships. I would have never have planned most of what has happened in my life. But God has, who's got this amazing program with all of us. And I want to say to every one of you sitting here this morning, to all of us, is that God is working in our lives. Some of you didn't plan the things that happened last year. We don't know what the future holds, but thank God we know who holds the future. We know that we can put our lives into his hands. Whatever's coming down the chute, I have faith in God that he is able. This year, people passed away. This year has been struggles for some. This year has not been an easy year for many. And people can lose hope and they can question. But I'm telling you, Mary, as Lori said about Joseph as well, he had the dream and he just got up and obeyed God. And I'm challenging you this morning to be faithful, to trust God. Wherever you're at, whatever God's working through, he is so amazing. If he can move the stars around, if he can get the whole entire world to make a census, do whatever it takes, he can take care of you and me. Is that okay? And if you needed to hear that this morning, you're facing something coming this year. It might be the birth of a child. It might just be life. I don't know. Put your trust in God. Amen? Amen. Let's turn in your Bibles, please. I'm going to end this year in Ephesians. I know all of you remember everything I preached out of Ephesians, that all the series we did. So It's all there. Again, I said paper is a good thing. I just want to put a punt in there. Maybe I need to do this as well while I'm thinking of it. John and Jan, when they're here, we talked about their son, Nathan. And he's the teaching pastor at Hillsong in New York. And he has an Instagram page, and many of you follow him and encourage it. But on the U Bible, if you go to your U Bible, the electronic Bible, he has a Bible reading plan. It's one of them. You can go into Bible reading plans under the U Bible program, and you'll find Nathan Finocchio. This is his name. And I know this is going to mean nothing to everybody over 40, but if you follow him on Instagram, you can get it there, or else go to U Bible. It's so dry in here. But he has they call it a 30-day shred. And I challenge you to get involved in it. They're reading through the whole Bible in 30 days. And the point of it is not to get every detail. The point of it is to see the big picture. And so his own encouragement is it'll take you about 2 hours a day, and some of you spend 4 hours a day on social media and the other two on TV. So it's not impossible. It's going to take some dedication and commitment. But to read the entire Bible through in 30 days to get the big picture. And his point is, if you get stuck and you something to have, just skim it. Just go through. What is the whole picture of the Bible? What's Bible, the story of the Bible all about? And I challenge you with that this morning. And so, maybe one of you will do it. I don't know. Maybe 15. I don't know. But I pray that somehow God will stir us again to have a desire to know His Word, to study His Word, to understand His Word, to hide His Word in our heart, for His Word to be the lamp to our feet. It's His Word. It's the truth of His Word that's going to keep us all. It's going to change this world. It's not our good ideas. It's not our good intentions. And I don't want to preach last Sunday's sermon over again, but people love that little story of Christmas, but just don't tell us it's true, and just don't, expect us to tell everybody else. But I'm telling you, that is good theology, little donkey on the dusty road. It's good theology that a virgin gave birth. That's our salvation. That is the basis of the gospel. That's not just a nice little story for Christmas and for children. And we need to encourage each other to get into the Word of God. So that's for free. You're welcome. Excuse me, I'm schlepping. So coming back to my paper Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 falls into the practical part of this book. That's why I said, you remember, of course, what I preached over the last weeks. I know everyone's got it memorized. But the first couple of chapters is all the theological basis for our excitement and our joy and our passion about being adopted and predestined, and that we have been redeemed through His blood, and we've been given His Holy Spirit, included in Christ. Having believed, we are marked in Him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, and in order that the coming ages we might show His glory. Those are my blue marks to remind me. But you get to the last part of this book. It's all the pink marks. It's all the practical. He says, walk or live carefully. Walk, let me just take you through. Live a life worthy, or walk worthy. No longer live like the Gentiles. Live as children of light. Live a life of love. And now we come to my verse, chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. I'm going to just cut in right there. But I'm saying all of that because this falls in the practical part of the book. But you can't do this part unless you've got the theological experience part of the book first. So before we try to live, this careful life, making good choices and plans and making the most out of every opportunity we have to have the basic gospel working in us first. That relationship with God, being born from above, being adopted into His family, having the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Otherwise, it's just religion and it's just work and we're trying hard. But when God is in us, we can come to these last verses of Ephesians and we can say, okay, with God's help this year, let me put this into practice and let me read it to you. As we end this year and we look forward to a new year, that's what the theme of this whole morning's been. Just let these words sink into your heart. Paul writes this. I'll stay back up here. Be very careful then how you live or how you walk. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. He plays this thing, unwise, wise, foolish, knowing the will of the Lord, understanding, being drunk, intoxicated, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's working this point through these verses. And he gets to this place and he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So may God bless the reading of his word. So I have three points this morning coming out of these verses. First of all, he says, don't be unwise, be wise. And the way we can do that, I believe, and he says it here, he says, redeem the time, if I use the old English. Make the most out of every opportunity that comes to you. You want to live wisely, not unwise, but wisely, then we have to make the most out of every opportunity that comes along. Utilize every day. What opportunity has God given me today? What is God giving me into this year? And it was Russell who showed me this little meme. Is it on there? Can you put it up, Shelley, if you have it? It'll be a good basis for my sermon this morning. It says, what will a new year bring us? 365 opportunities. So what is God preparing for us for his good and for his purposes? Is it all going to be roses? Maybe not. But what are the opportunities? How can I make the best out of what God has given me? That's what this message is about. And Paul challenges them to utilize every day. Be careful with the things that matter. And I may not get back to it again, but if you think of what are the two most precious things we have? One is time and the other is people. Think about it. We're all given a certain amount of time. The word he uses here is kairos, those opportunities. It's not chronos, it's not time, it's time. Make the most, redeem. What he's saying is, think of how precious these moments are. Think how precious these days are, these opportunities are. And again, maybe it's because I'm 60, maybe it's because of where we're at. I don't know. I'm sitting there watching a little Mary and Joseph up here, and I'm thinking, life is like a breath. It's gone. From when my daughter sang the Mary story to Helene is up here doing the Mary story is like, it's like nothing. It's like a breath. It's like a puff of smoke and our life is gone. I'm saying God is challenging us. He's speaking to you and to me today. I feel the Spirit of God speaking, challenging, encouraging us to make the most of every opportunity we have. And if you're a young person here today, say, oh, I got another 50 years of living. Listen to me. He says, make the most, redeem it. I'm going to get worked up here, but I am so tired of watching young people slop their way through life. Undisciplined, unplanned. Just, life is just going by. Listen, the 20s is not the new 30s, or 30s is not the new 20s. I mean, that's backwards. Don't wait till you're 30 and then you're going to do something. Make a decision today. Use every opportunity today. Many of us are living on the blessing of some choices I made when I was 18. We're living on a life of how God has led us over years. Don't waste your time, is what he's saying. Redeem it. Buy it. It's precious. And if you have wasted some time, and we all have, and we've done some things, I'm telling you, living wisely is just one good decision away. You can make it today. You can make a choice. And that's what we've been singing. That's what was being prayed in the prayer room. I'm telling you, God is speaking as loud as he can. That you can make a difference. You can make a choice. You can take this opportunity and grab hold of it. And say, God, what have you got for me today? How can I use my time? This amount of time that you've given me. And the other aspect of that is the relationships with people, and I'm going to get to it. But he says, take every opportunity you have. Make the most out of it. And if there's one thing we get to take to eternity with us and take to heaven with us, it's people. And I'm telling you, don't waste it. Don't waste the opportunity that God gives you with the people around you that you love and who are close. Husbands, wives, children, family, church friends. Don't waste an opportunity. My wife is way better than I am with... Yeah, thanks. I haven't finished the sentence yet. That's why you're still here. We only send our best. That's the joke. But now I've lost my thought. Now my wife is way better than I am at making every moment count with people. I'm like, that's okay, good. Don't waste a moment with your neighbor, with your work colleague, with your friends at work. And as I said, I don't want to get worked up, but it drives me crazy when I think of people, young people, not only young people, but people who waste their life. So how, I'm talking about living wisely, and he says, make the most out of every opportunity. So what's the opposite of this is unwise, which is worry and depression and sickness and sadness and just, unforgiveness, going through life bitter, those, these people hurt me and this has happened and that's happened and what about me but what about this and you don't know my situation. God knows it all. And I don't have every answer for everybody in this size of a room. Forget about the city of Edmonton. But I do know that God has given us an opportunity to repent. He's given us an opportunity to forgive. He gives us an opportunity every day to wake up and say, well, today I have another chance to do it right. I can fix this thing. I can make a good decision this morning. I can choose to live wisely. And the Bible says, and I'm spending way too much time on this first point, but the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Wisdom is crying out in the streets. Wisdom is available. Wisdom is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And we can say, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom with my kids. Give me wisdom with my spouse. Give me wisdom with my job. Give me wisdom in life. And you know what? God does it. He's faithful to do it. So what are you going to do with 2019? What are you going to do? You got a choice. We stand here and we look at it and say, okay, 2019, I'm going to make some good decisions about my life, about my finances, about my spiritual walk. I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to do a 30-day shred. I'm going to do something, man. I got to change something. Insanity is just keeping on doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting a different result. No, man, we're gonna change this. I keep saying I'm 60. I don't know why that, who cares? But I wake up at 4 o'clock every morning, just so you know, and I think it's a 60-year-old thing. And so I've decided I've been doing it for a long time, but I'm gonna make the most out of those 2 hours before 6 o'clock. I can read this whole Bible in 2 days from 3 till 7. It's like, I'm going to make the most out of this opportunity I have. I'm not just going to lay there and think about all the troubles and the problems and the phone calls and the situations and the sicknesses and that we can do and we can pray. But I'm going to make the most out of the opportunity God gave me. And I'm going to be wise. I'm going to make wise choices. My finances, my situations. So whatever it is that God's put on your heart, I'm not talking about just a New Year's resolution. I'm talking about walking in the wisdom of God, empowered from within, born again, living out a Christian life. Not just trying to improve myself for a couple of days, and everybody knows how that works. By January 3rd, we're all depressed and sad, and next Sunday we'll have to have an altar call because we all failed. But it's God working with us and in us and through us. We can ask God for wisdom. I have this powerful point here, but knowledge is increasing. It's multiplying. You've heard this example before. It's just like if you look at a scale, information has just gone, knowledge. But wisdom hasn't kept up with it. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and we can ask Him for wisdom in this day and age we live in. We need it. We need wisdom how to live our life. We need this precious Word of God. So He says, be careful. how you live. Careful. Be careful. Not as unwise, but as wise. And he says this, make the most out of every opportunity. Buy the time. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time in unforgiveness. Don't waste your time in bitterness. Don't waste your time in anger and frustration. And just say, God, heal me. God, help me. Step into something new of God. He's faithful to do it. Second point, he says, understand God's will. Or I'm calling it this. Understanding God's will is the cure to foolishness. He says, don't be fool, or don't become foolish. But he says, know the will of the Lord. Understand the will of the Lord. So the opposite of unwise is wisdom. Using our time. Using what we have. The opposite of foolishness is knowing the will of the Lord. And I just simply want to say this. We can know God's will. The Bible says a lot of things about fools. And I don't want to take the time. But a fool is someone who you can't teach. They're not the simple and not ignorant. Those you can teach. They will, I didn't know that. And they'll learn and they'll go. A fool, there's nobody as blind as him who won't see, who won't hear. But the Bible says a fool said in his heart, there is no God. And I've preached that sermon 7 million times in Africa. But simply this is most people are not walking around saying, there's no God. There's many of those. But I've seen them, the worst of atheists, all saying, God help me in a plane crash. And I've been in a couple. Everybody, there's no atheists in a plane crash. They're all crying out to God. And they get out of the plane, they're shaking and holding hands, cheering and thanking God. And when we got in, they didn't believe there was a God. But most people don't go around saying there's no God. But the problem is we live like there's no God. We live like God has no influence and God has no power. And we're just like these victims our whole life. I'm telling you, we're not. He says, don't become foolish, but know the will of the Lord. Paul says it this way. We can know the will of God. I want to read the verse. Let me read Psalm, first of all, because I'm jumping around. But David said it this way. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony or the decrees of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Just do a word study sometime on foolish, wise, simple, ignorant. You'd be amazed what the Word of God tells us. But if we need help, He says He will make us wise. He will help us. His will can be known is what I'm trying to say. God's plan and purpose can be known. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right thinking, getting your mind right, leads to right believing, which leads to right living. We can ask God to know His will. So, we want to make the most out of every opportunity, number one. Number two is, God, what's your will? What's your purpose for my life, for my kids? What are the things, somebody said it already this morning, what are the things that matter for 2019? What are the things that I need to fight for, and what are the things I need to let go? What are the things that are the serious things of 2019? I'm going to give myself to that. What's your will for me and for my life? And so I'm asking you to seek God for it. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Seek it. Ask for it. Say, God, what's your will for my life? And if it's to take you to South Africa, then that's where you need to be. And if it's to be the best mother you could ever be. See, coming back to my little story about little donkey. I have daughters. You know them. Sometimes they feel like they're good mothers. Sometimes they feel like they're good wives. Sometimes they don't. And I feel like, I don't see Nicole here. She's with the kids today, so it's good. I can say anything I want. No. But how many times have we sat with her and she's like, I don't know. Her husband's here, so I have to be careful. But I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Like in nursing, they got a whole manual of protocols. And when this happens, you do this. And when this happens, it's, but raising kids and living life, there's no protocols. There's no books written there. It's like out of control. I don't know if I'm doing well. I'm messing this kid's life up and what I'm doing. And I'm saying, welcome to the club. And if it wasn't for God's help, none of us would make it. Amen? None of us have this thing all figured out. In February this year, we're trusting God to do a weekend on parenting. We got some plans. We're going to invite some people to come. We want to help one another, want to encourage one another. But I'm thankful to God that we can look to Him for wisdom. We can look to Him for His will, for strength. We can say, God, what's your plan here? And where I mess up and where I get it wrong, God will come through and fulfill it. God will make a way. If He can arrange the stars, if He can change the whole Roman world in a night to get things together, He can make a plan for my kids and your kids. That's where I was waxing eloquently earlier, that I never planned for my son Kyle to have three citizenships. God has a plan. God's working out His details in his life. All I can say is, God, may your will be done. May you work it out. Keith and Ronell, I love seeing you sitting here together. Cornell, sorry. What did I say, Ronell? Slip of the tongue is no fault of a great mind. I love it. I love it. Our only hope is God. We sang it. Maybe we'll sing it at the end. Last thing is, he says, don't be drunk. Quit being drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for me, he's speaking, because he's talking about live. He's talking about walk. He's talking about living your life. He's talking about, so it's more than just, you got drunk on Thursday night. Don't do that either. You're an idiot if you get drunk. It ruins lives. But he's talking about being intoxicated with yourself. Be intoxicated. He says it leads to debauchery. It leads to indulgence. It leads to me, myself and I. It leads to my thinking. He says, rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, be led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. This world wants to intoxicate us. It wants to dumb us down. And I don't want to preach that message again, but it's just, don't allow the thinking, the view, the smallness, the pettiness, the ungodliness, the debauchery of this world shrink you. Shape you. It's easy to get jaded. It's easy to get bitter. It's easy to say, what's the point of this? What, you know, you thought you were doing well with your finances. You're more in debt today than you were 10 years ago. It's like, what? And the world wants to just come and suck the life out of you. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't get drunk, which leads to that. Leads to debauchery. Leads to just me, myself and I, my stuff. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled, be led of the Holy Spirit. And I could talk much about that this morning. Folks, we need a renewing, a refreshing of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's not just for one meeting. I love when we come together. And we've had some sweet worship times. We've had some sweet prayer times together. But I'm talking about a walk with the Holy Spirit. Be very careful then how you walk, he says, how you live. Don't be drunk. Don't be, you know, I know lots about drunks. I grew up with a whole clan of them. They're undisciplined beggars. They don't care. They'll burp right in your face. They'll puke right on the kitchen. They will pass out with their face in it. They are undisciplined. They are brutes. Drunks are not pretty. They look the same all over the world. They stink. Ha! You say, well, I only drank a little bit. You still stink. But the day and age we live in, this intoxication thing, this spirit of the age is what I believe Paul's talking about. He says, don't go after that. Don't allow that. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then he ends it, and I'll end it here. He says, singing and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart, speaking, he says, speak to one another. And that's what I want to grab onto. He says, encourage one another. That's what we're supposed to do. That's where the sermon's ending up. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Don't become foolish. Know what the will of the Lord is. Don't be intoxicated. Don't be drunk. Don't just give up and live this uncontrolled life of just whatever. I might as well, you know, I had an older brother. only got two, so it's hard, easy for you to figure out, but there was a season when he was just up to his eyeballs in debt through divorce and his farm and borrowing money and his trucks. He would buy a $70,000 truck and then soon it wouldn't be any good, so he'd get a more expensive one, and he hadn't paid off the last one. And I remember talking with him, and he's like, what's the difference? I might as well just bore myself into oblivion, because by the end of the day, I'm going to die and I'll leave all the debts somewhere else. You know, that's what the devil would love for us to do, is just say, what's the point of trying? Why work so hard to have a relationship? This woman, she doesn't even love me anyhow. Of course she loves me. What's not to love? But you know what I mean? It's work. It's effort. You say, okay, but today, with God's help, I am going to make good choices in my life. I'm going to live a life worthy. I'm going to live a life that makes the most of every opportunity. And he says, speak to one another. That's where he ends these verses. This is where this paragraph ends. He says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Amen.